Time to bring in Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Good morning, Dash. How are you?
Good morning, David. Doing well?
Good to hear, and good talking to you.
Yes.
National Signing Day is 3 weeks from Wednesday, so we're getting closer and closer. I guess getting a lot of the Georgia fans got to see the football game on Saturday, the Army All-American game, which had a bunch of Georgia commitments in it. Now, were you at the basketball game, or were you –
No, I was at the basketball game. Jake Roosh was in the stand,
right?
All week long.
Well, yeah, I knew he was out there. I just didn't know if you got to watch much or if you got to see much of the football game, or you were more locked in on hoops.
I was at the hoops. I didn't get to see a bit of the All-American game except some highlights.
Well, I guess my thing was, even though there wasn't anyone that like committed to Georgia in that game, I mean, how huge is it though that UGA is so well represented in that thing?
I think it's really huge, and I think it's really huge as it pertains to Aubrey Solomon, the five-star defensive tackle, who's considering Georgia. I mean, everywhere you looked, I mean, Aubrey was hanging around with guys like Richard LeCount, Jeremiah Holloman, and if you look closely during the game, Aubrey's even wearing a UGA mouthpiece. I don't know if that had any, people like to speculate on what that meant,
yeah.
What it did mean, and all that kind of thing. But I think obviously it helped. I think. In his case, having so many, George commits there because, all those guys were all in his ear. And Torrey Johnson, another one who I know we talked to him earlier last week, and he said he was going to be doing his best to recruit big Aubrey to UGA. So it was good that so many Georgia players were there to kind of help do that.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
Now, Dash, we've kind of looked at a bunch of the different recruiting rankings and things like that, and obviously every service has kind of a different way of going about this. But when it's all said and done here, if Georgia does indeed flip Aubrey Solomon, do they have a chance to, not overtake Alabama, but are they pretty solid at the number two spot if that's the case?
I don't know. Ohio State still has a lot of room to move up, and they just got a five-star commitment themselves this past weekend. So it's going to be, even if Aubrey did decide to come to Georgia, it might still be tough for Georgia to shoot past Ohio State. I don't think Alabama's way too far ahead for Georgia to climb up that high either. But I think they can definitely finish number three. And again, number two's not out of the question. If Aubrey were to commit, that would give Georgia a boost, and there's some other highly ranked kids, wide receiver Nicole Collins, who is still on the Georgia's radar. If he were to come, I mean, that'd be another that would boost Georgia as well. So don't count totally out of number two. But I just think because Ohio State has so many spots to fill, and you know good and well Urban Meyer is going to bring us some top-quality kids. I just think it's going to be a little bit maybe tougher to hang on that second spot.
Well, the Dogs have 23 verbal commitments right now for this class. I mean, we've seen the numbers crunching on the scholarship. So how much room do you think there is for any more guys in this class?
I'm thinking maybe three or four. But, again, that's just a guess on my part. I mean, that's just one of those things with the attrition. You just never really know exactly how much they're going to have. And I don't think even Kirby Smart could even tell you that right now. But I would say just on what we understand, what we've heard, I say three or four more positions open as we stand right now.
I guess all the Rodrigo Blankenship stuff blew up later on in the week last week, so we didn't get to talk to you about that. But what do you think's going to happen with that?
I don't think anything will. I mean, I think down the road, I think Rodriguez probably will get a scholarship. It may not be this year. It may be next year. I don't know. But I definitely think that his dad went about it handled it the wrong way. You just don't call out the head coach when you don't get your way like that. And I actually agree with Kirby. It's not time to give Rodrigo a scholarship right now. I mean, he led Georgia in scoring. He had a great year as a kicker, but I mean, we're only talking about really a three-quarter of a year to really go on. That he needs to probably show a little bit more to really earn it. And again, it's just what people have asked me. Well, why do you think that, Dash? Well, here's the thing: if it came down to one scholarship, who you want to give it to right now? Rodrigo Blankenship or Aubrey Solomon, for example. I mean, they've got to look at something like that, I think, very carefully before. And again, you don't see schools, any school really give mid-year scholarships to walk on. So it's you got to get signed there with first and see what happens over the summertime if there's more attrition. Then maybe pass that, you might get one.
So the Dogs, too, got a kicker from the Ivy League as a graduate transfer?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. That one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't have his name in front of me, but
his name is a kicker from the Ivy League, right?
Yeah. He's actually more of a punter, I think. He only attended like a couple of field goals.
Right, right.
Punting-wise, he averaged like 44 yards on 36 kicks. So that's you know, maybe something more in line that he is you know, attempts to do once he you know, once he arrives. And I'll get his name here in just a second.
Well, so it was
escapes me right now.
I know I have it. I just I can't pronounce it. He has kind of a strange last name, Nizeliak or Nizeliak.
Yeah.
Cameron Nizeliak.
Yeah, Cameron Nizeliak. That's it. But I'm not sure if I pronounced it correct either. But I think just based on the numbers and the stats, and I haven't had a chance to speak with Cameron yet, but I would just assume he's probably gonna get a lot of a look at punter before anything else.
Is this more of a concern on Marshall Long injury, or just that they don't know that they necessarily have, you know, someone that they want to be the starting punter for next year?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Plus, Kirby also always likes to have a competition at all the positions. I mean, it may be a case where they want Bryce Ramsey to set quarterback next year and not have him punt. I don't know. I'm just guessing on that part of it. But I think ultimately just want somebody else who can come in and then push Marshall to do a better job.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
Now, Dash, with the news of all the returning players and everything, I think the defensive side of the football definitely gets a boost with Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy coming back and
sure.
The play of Trenton Thompson and Dominic Sanders also announcing he's coming back. So do you think that Georgia's defensive unit next year could be a good bit better than the one we saw this year?
They should. I mean, second year under the system put in by Coach Martin, Coach Trucker, I think that definitely could be the case. And as much as we saw the young defensive line grow and produce this year, I'm really excited about what those guys could do moving forward. But I think Georgia fans should be very excited about the defense next fall. I mean, there's still a few spots, maybe in the secondary, they need some upgrading on and get some depth there. But I think they're addressing that through recruiting right now. So I think, defensively, Georgia should be one of the better defensive units in the conference next season.
Jake, what's the total number Dash, what's the total number of – I was looking at Jake Fromm and knowing that he's one of them. What's the total number of these early enrollees here?
That's four, I believe, right now. There's Jake, there's Jeremiah Holloman. I know DeMarcus Hayes is already here, and Monty Rice as well, and also Gibbs is here. So that's your early enrollees right now.
D'Angelo Gibbs. So five of the 23 are early enrollees too.
Correct.
And I know it's not necessarily doesn't mean a whole lot, but did you feel like Fromm looked better in this game Saturday than Eason did in it last year, or does that even mean anything at all?
I do think he looked better, but I don't think it really means much as far as how you want to project him moving forward. I mean, I think Jake Fromm is going to have a great Georgia career, but I also think he's going to go through some of the same freshman issues that Jacob Eason went through this season. Again, in high school, meeting Jake Fromm, his offense was pretty much what Jacob Eason was out in Washington. It was a pass spread. I mean, he was in the shotgun most of the time, so he's going to have to adjust to things like working under center, working on his footwork and things of that nature. And then, of course, like every freshman has to get used to working with against the speed that he's going to see on a daily basis. So he's going to have some adjustments to make as well, but I really like Jake Fromm for a number of reasons. I think he's number one, he's a very smart kid. He's a guy who I know is going to prepare himself as much as possible, the best he can. And I think it's good that Jacob Eason is going to have somebody out there pushing, because if Jacob's not on his game, Jake Fromm is fully capable of going out there and maybe taking a job for himself.
Dash, you mentioned me in the basketball game earlier, and that was a game that was very uninteresting up until the final ticks of the first half there, where Yante Maiden and Jordan Geist got into it, and then the whole teams, including some coaches, got into it. What did you make of that whole fracas there around halftime?
It was unusual. I mean, you mentioned Maiden. I mean, they were going for the ball at the buzzer. I didn't really think nothing up to that. I mean, it didn't really seem like it was that crazy or anything, but all of a sudden you've got – both teams and coaches, Coach Davidson out there, and Coach Shields from Missouri going at it, and you've got Jonas picking up Jonas. How you picking Coach Davidson up and pulling him back? And I'm like, man, this is kind of interesting. but what it did, it fired Georgia up. I'll give them that. I mean, the players wouldn't talk about it after the game, but there's no question that it gave a little spark, which they had been lacking. Not only that first half, but maybe that game before or something. Maybe they can use now to carry forward and use their advantage.
I guess the bigger question, though, is why was that first half so brutal? This is not a very good Missouri team.
Not a very good Missouri team. I think the RPI was like 236 or something like that.
I mean,
you could argue it was the worst team Georgia's played since Morehouse is what, Division II.
Yeah.
But Georgia just didn't come out, kept ready to play. And, In fact, I think Missouri's, they're like 0-22 in Coach Anderson's, you know, career there in road games all time. Hadn't won one since he's been the coach there. So that was a, you know, it was not a good first half effort, and that was a really concern. If Georgia lost that game, I don't know what might have happened the rest of the year.
You could probably dig deeper on that. If they haven't won a road game since he's there, they probably haven't had many halftime leads on the road either.
Probably not. But Georgia was just terrible. I mean, the turnovers, a turnover a minute pretty much there for most of the half. I think they finished with 12 in the first 20 minutes. I mean, that's just terrible basketball. You can't do that. I mean, but they used whatever spark they got from that little fracas at the end and were able to carry it to a victory, which they definitely need.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com and mentioning the Georgia basketball team and being out there. Did you feel like they were told not to talk about the fracas?
Oh, no question about it. Yeah. I mean, we talked the first question was posed to J.J. Frazier, and he said he needed to ask Coach about that. So that's the all telltale sign there that they've been told not to discuss. And even the coaches themselves, Coach Anderson and Coach Fox, we got to look at the film to see what happened. Comment after the game, so they were trying their best to downplay it, but obviously that was the big news of that contest on ESPN. I think every other national show had some kind of clip about what happened.
Now, Dash, obviously the Dogs put themselves in a position where it's going to be an uphill climb to make the tournament due to their performance in the non-conference and the loss.
Yeah.
The loss to South Carolina won't help either, but. Do you think for the rest of the way out, in order to make the tournament, they probably need to, win out at home, maybe other than Kentucky, and then go on the road and pinch some games too?
I think no question about that. I mean, Georgia's had opportunities to win some big non-conference games. A game against South Carolina would have been huge, but they've not really hadn't done that yet. And they've got to get some resume wins on their, on their knocker right now. So far, they don't have that. They need to at least, I think, go out and split these games coming up at Ole Miss and in Florida. And then, like you said, come back here to Athens. And when they get a chance to play, win all these games, I don't think they won't be Kentucky here, I wouldn't believe. But they certainly should be in position to win the other ones. But they have to do something like that and maybe win a game between the tournament, SEC tournament, that is, to get into the bid. Because they've just, again, it's kind of like last year, they dug themselves an early hole in some of these losses early on. It's going to catch up with once the tournament, announcements go out.
All right, Dash, before we let you go here, last college football game of the season tonight. Yes. Who you got?
I got Alabama just because of the defense and the fact on defense they are, they're scoring touchdowns with their turnovers. So I think you'll see that again tonight, and I see Alabama winning 35-31.
Ooh, that'll be good. That'll be fun if it's a game like that, no doubt. All right, thanks, Dash.
Yep, see you.
All right, Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.